Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this.
Yep. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, I have a special guest, Mr. Waverly Willis, with us, who is he's just entrepreneur extraordinaire here in Cleveland, owner of two locations of Urban Cuts and a whole bunch of other things. So first, welcome, Waverly.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you sharing your platform today.
Of course. Thanks for being on. And tell us what else you do. I know I follow you on social, so I see all the things. But what are all the things I'm seeing?
Okay. Well, like you said, I'm the proud owner of Urban Cuts Barbershop, which is, I used to say, one barbershop in two locations. Now it's one barbershop in three locations, as we will be opening up our third location by February 2022. So that is a blessing. I'm also a barber instructor and the director of outreach at La Barbería Institute of Hair, which is Ohio's largest and most academically proven successful barber college. I'm the chairman of the Ohio Barber and Beauty Association, which is an association that is set to but keep the foundation of the barber industry intact. That's a lot of political stuff attached to that. I'm the executive director of the Urban Barber Association, which is a network of barbershops, a few beauty salons located in Northeastern Ohio, where we use our businesses to funnel information to the community. And we just want to empower the community through networking and education.
That's all it. Things barbershop, huh? All things hair.
Yeah. That's my lane. You know what I'm saying? It's a few little outliers there, but my main lane is hair. And I found that I've grown a lot of branches just out of my lane. And that's something that I'm very fortunate to have done over the years. And honestly, I can't say that initially that was the plan, but I've been enjoying the journey. And I noticed, hey, I can kind of deviate a little bit and expand my own brand. And it'd be beneficial for myself and others just by just growing a branch out of my lane. So I'm trying to teach others to do that as well.
So very cool. So let's go back, because I know today we're talking about one of your favorite topics, as well as my favorite topics, small business and entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And I first heard of or met you or saw you at, I believe it was Core City, your Core City pitch back at Jumpstart years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking in the room and everyone was like, you've got to meet Waverly. Like, you were the buzz before the pitch even happened. And you were like, people were grabbing me like, you got to meet Waverly. You've got to meet this guy, Waverly. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, your pitch was amazing that day. And I'm just wondering how you got to that point. Like, did you always want to be a barber? Is that what your plan was? Like, how did you get there?
I did. It's a funny story. Okay. My mom, Wardell Willis, God rest her soul, she was the single parent of three nappy headed boys and one excellent, wonderful girl. She used to cut our hair and she used to do a really, really, really bad job at it. You know, she was, again, a single parent. She just wanted her kids to look neat as we represented ourselves, our family and her. So she sat me down. I was about 8-10 years old. She sat me down for my tri-weekly haircut, nothing major, just a buzz and an attempted lineup. And again, she did a bad job at it. The kids, when we get to school, the kids in the neighborhood would all laugh, point finger, make jokes. The kids in school and in the neighborhood, you know, I was just the butt of everybody's joke. So I remember 18 years old, she sat me down for my haircut. I can remember like it was a terrible nightmare, like it's the back of my hand. She came towards me. I grabbed her wrist and I said, Mom, can I just please cut my own hair? She said, I don't care who cuts your hair as long as it gets cut. So I started cutting my own hair. And guess what? Did a terrible job at it. Probably worse than my mom did. You know, same results in the neighborhood. Kids pointing fingers, making fun of me. And I just kept cutting my hair. And maybe a year and a half later, the same kids that were pointing fingers at me and making jokes about my haircut began to pull me to the side saying, hey, you think you can, tighten me up a little bit. So my mom's basement began to be filled with kids from the neighborhood and kids from the school. And I was charging $3 a haircut, and she would peek down periodically throughout the day and count all the kids that was in her going in and out of her basement. And she was charging me a buck. She charged at the end of my day, she would charge me a buck a piece for each person that came down her basement. So my little $3 a haircut turned into $2 a haircut, you know. And I guess, of course, as a 10, 11 year old kid, you know, I was angry about it. But I guess that's the seed of entrepreneurialism that was planted into me. I'm sure she couldn't do much with that little 10 or 15 or however much money she made. But she was planting a seed in me that I'll never forget. So my passion for cutting hair started then. I did always want to be a barber. I did always want to be a barber. So I'm very fortunate. I never knew that it would flourish into me owning a few barbershops and being a barber instructor. But I'm very grateful. I think that the good Lord, the Creator, knows what's going on, because I probably, with other issues that I've had in my life, far as I am in recovery, my street stuff that I've done, I probably would be dead or in prison if I didn't have barbering.
I'm a believer that entrepreneurship can be, like you just said, kind of a life preserver for those of us that just aren't reaching that place that we want to get to in life. And I know that you have thoughts on it. Like, I think it's an access point of how people get started. What do you think is holding people back from entrepreneurship?
I think people are just scared to take the leap. Just, I get a lot of, well, what ifs and what ifs. And I tell people, it's always a reason not to do something. I can think of a million reasons why I shouldn't have started a barbershop, or you can think of a million reasons why you shouldn't have started Black Girl in Clique, you know, and you always got those close friends and family members that give you those what ifs. So I think it's just scared to jump in. And that's why I put out that plea, like, look, whoever got any platform, let me jump on. And if I can just plant the seed into one person, encourage one person out there, because we're seeing other cultures do what they've been doing for years, which is they make it look easy, but they're going through problems and they having bumps in the road too, but they're getting through it, ultimately leaving something for their children to have. And I'm so tired of seeing us, the people that are brave enough to start a business, start an organization, once Mr. Johnson die or Ms. Jackson die, thus goes the business. And so I think that not only are we scared to start the business, but we are not structuring the back end stuff correctly to create the generational wealth. You know, I work in a barbershop, so I hear all the complaints, but I'm one of the dudes that's, you know, I don't want to hear that. Do something.
Right.
Do something.
I think, you know, just thinking about the entrepreneurs I know and the people that have started the journey, I think you're right. As in, even when you're in entrepreneurship, there's more than for your business, like there's more than just cutting hair. Like that's right. Not the business of what you do.
Right. That's the beginning. Small increment.
Right. And so I often think about how we as a people just don't understand that, like, yeah, maybe I like to write, but that doesn't mean I can have a sustainable business that I can sell off or pass down to children because right. I have this hobby. And I know people that are afraid of the business of their business. Right. If that makes sense.
I like that. That makes great sense. I'm taking that.
Okay. So you heard it here first.
If you hear it again, you're right. I heard it here
just
first.
Quote me. And yeah. I work with somebody and they were often saying, I'm like, what are your numbers? What's your revenue streams or what's your profit margin? You know, the business words that we know, and some folks are like, that's white folks' business. That's the way men do business. And I'm like, that's business. If I don't know how much I need to make to keep my business open, I'm just out there. Right. What am I doing?
Right.
And I think for me, that's a conversation of like, how do we, I don't even know if you can ease people in that. Can we ease people into that, letting that fear go of like, yes, you got to know numbers? Because math, you know, I hear Black people, and I used to teach math actually when I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. Math ain't for me. I can't do math. But math's a lot easier right. when you count money. That's my thought. And right. but some especially people are afraid of that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I can take percents and everything on that day. Right. But people are afraid of the numbers. And I don't know how to get them past that or where they learned that from. But I mean, can you speak to that? Or have you seen something like that?
Sure. I can speak to it personally, because guess what? Math ain't for me. However, it is people and entities out there that are being paid. Somebody is sitting at a desk right now on their phones, on Facebook, on Instagram, because not you, Shannon, but you, who's ever looking at this right now, that's wondering about starting a business, because you're not sitting at their desk filling out that application. Make these people do their job. And guess how much it's going to cost you? Nothing. Zero. Zilch. That's how I got involved with Jumpstart. I still have a relationship to this day with the Urban League. And of course, they're going to sing the praises of Waverly Willis. But if they speak to Waverly Willis 12 years ago, excuse my French, they'll say Waverly was a real pain in my ass. Because I'm quick to say I don't get it.
I don't shut down. And shut down.
Right. But see, this was maybe it's because these people's backs aren't against the wall. This was all I got, period. And I mean, after I got a drug and alcohol treatment and the good Lord took those monkeys off my back, it's either go back to it's two things I know how to do. Get high, get drunk, and cut hair. The first one was not an option no more. I had to make this work. So I became, and if you have a relationship with the people at Jumpstart or at, call Patrick, call Mr. Mackley down there. And I talked to Patrick this morning. I talked to Felicia Ivy this morning. So I talked to somebody from Jump Street and the Urban League literally this morning. Yes. I still have a close relationship with them. Do I know my numbers and all that?
But can you talk your numbers?
Yeah, I can talk my numbers. But then once you get too, you take me into too deep of a water, I'm going to say, you can call my accountant, Robin Boyd.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And she got everything you need, which when I was doing something with Urban League, she got to talking too deep. I said, you know what? As we were speaking, I just connected all me, you, and my accountant, Robin Boyd, on the email. So everything you just asked me is on the email. So, but yes, you have, if this is something that you really want, and I tell people, you got to touch people's heart. Well, what about your kids? You can't leave your kids Amazon. That's Jeff Bezos.
Right.
You can't leave your kids Progressive Insurance. And they're like, well, what if I can't quit my job? I didn't tell you to quit your job. Quick story. I got a young man. He's like 22 years old, just had a baby. And it's like I got to kind of not use business jargon so they won't look at the mountain. Sometimes you just got to close your eyes and just take one step at a time and don't look at the mountain. Because if you look up at that mountain, you'll be like, oh, it's too much. So the kid wants to start a landscaping business, Amazon right now. And this is speaking to what's going on into society today. That's why I make this call of sense of urgency. Amazon, they got a $3,000 sign-on bonus and they're paying people $24 an hour. Now, these businesses, corporations, companies, number one, you're not going to see these sign-on bonuses forever. And number two, you probably, the hourly wages is going to go down. If not, just stay where they are. I'm betting that they're going to go down at least by a couple dollars. So he said, I can't quit my job. I didn't say quit your job. I said, pay your bills. Get that sign-on bonus. The way they have it structured, and I don't know how everybody's is, but this is just an example. So while he's coming in for his tri-weekly haircuts, hey man, bring me some pictures of like the lawnmowers you want. I'm just trying to test his excitement level. So he's calling and texting between haircuts, pictures and stuff. Okay. All right. I'm doing, okay, let's talk about, you know, how you want to structure your business. You know, just write me something down. This is the business plan. But if I say business plan, he go open his eyes and look at the mount. So I'm like, I got to really trick this little dude into, you know, what he's supposed to do. So he get the 1500 sign on bonus while he's been stacking this little money up and paying your bills. Again, I'm not telling nobody to quit your job. All I'm doing is telling you to take advantage of the times that we have, because they are not. You think Jeff Bezos want to give you a $3,000 sign-on bonus? No, he does not. But these companies are desperate right now. So he bought himself a nice lawnmower, a nice whatever thingy to edge up the grass, and a blower. Okay. And now he's looking at little cheap used trucks. You know, he got the first, he's going to get the first 1500 in the first 30 days. And in the next 60 days, he's going to get the next $1,500 while he's still working. So he's going to have himself poised and ready in the springtime. Now, the next thing is this, bro, I will let you cut my grass at my home and at my shop, but you better do a damn good job, because I'm going to big you up on my social media. And after I big you up, it's going to be some people that's going to be calling you. So you better be in a professional manner. So now I'm connecting with my people at the Urban League, with my people at Jumpstart. You need to get this LLC and all this stuff together. I'm kind of hustling backwards with him, but he's a young guy. And I had to test to see where his enthusiasm was at. And it's there. So he's excited because he's getting all his ducks in a row. So
let's go from that, though, because he's enthusiastic and he stays with that. Right. But we often, you know, we often see people that lose that enthusiasm. Like, I came home, work got me tired. Oh, my goodness. And now I'll work on it tomorrow. Or I've seen folks that are, they lead with the logo and the fun, pretty stuff. Right. The marketing, but they don't develop the product. How do we, I love when you said hustle backwards. How do we show them the hustle backwards and the stick with itness? Is that internal, or can that be developed?
I think it's both. Now, again, when you started Black Girl in Cleat, when I started Urban Cuts, I can only speak for me. I don't know, man. That's risky, bro. I don't know if you can really do that. Okay. That's homie from years ago, from childhood, and that's still homie. But guess what? I'm hanging around people like you now,
right?
Because this excites me. This keeps, you see how excited I am just by talking to this young man and about this young man to you. People like you are my circle now.
Right. Let's talk about that, because a lot of it is the refusal to change the circle. Like, I believe you have to change the circle. So our initial team in 2016 of folks that I started with are not here, and not because we fell out or whatever. I love them to death, but it was just a fun hobby. And I'm like, no, this thing has some this has some wheels and some sustainability opportunity. Let's talk about that. Letting go of connections, not, you know, be it parents, family, friends, you know, everybody's not built for this journey, as I have a friend that says.
It's just like me in recovery, people, places, and things. Now, do I still got the homies from childhood? Yeah. Do we check in with each other? Yeah. Am I coming to the hood to drink some beer and watch the game? You know what? I'm 17 years in now. I'm going to come to the hood. But once y'all start blazing it's not in my DNA no more. And they know what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's people, places, and things. You have to find a way to keep your fire lit. You know what I'm saying? It just is what it is. So now my crowd, which I don't hang out with a lot of people, like, I'm not... When I'm putting my posts up on social media, I'm genuinely excited. Like, this is my thing. And I it's an amazing thing. Like, cutting hair is my thing, but bigging people up and putting each other on, That's my thing. And I mean, not just for our people, because I hang with other cultures too. And please believe, I am taking notes. And absolutely, I'm making those connections as well. Because, of course, I want us to win. But, you know, if they've already done the blueprint for the last three generations of their family, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. Yep. I'm going to take it. I'm going to tweak it. I'm going to throw out what I can't use. And then I'm going to bring it to Black Girl and Klee podcast. And we go help shoot this to the masses. But if you really, really trying to do something, you have to change your circle. Like I said, with the young man, I'm testing your excitement level, because I got up and I've been notorious in the past when somebody said, well, I want to do this, man. The next time I see him, I didn't download the stuff. I didn't send them leaks. Did you do? Oh, no, I ain't had time yet. Yeah. I had to like slow myself down. Just like you said, your team in 2016, like Meek said, it's levels to this. And yeah, some people want to talk about it on this level. And then you got the people that really want to make it happen. So now that I see that this young man is doing his own research, making his own moves, I'm excited every time I see this dude.
So, you know, I use a phrase and I call them seeker missiles. And they mm-hmm. are those questions like, how's it going? Show me the lawnmower. Like you said, like to see if you still are, because there's people where you do send that little kind of that dart out into the atmosphere. Like mm-hmm. I might say, like, tell me what you're reading. Because you got to learn from wherever. And, you know, mm-hmm. while there's plenty of people on Instagram that's there to teach you, they may not be the person to teach you. So where are you getting your information, and who else are you talking to? And it's true. Like, you might send that out to that young man one day and he's just busy. It's holidays. Okay. But after a few more of those, you'll see if he's still ingrained. Yeah. And I think for me, it's one of those, like, because I'm just like you, the more I talk to someone that has ideas and can talk business, like, my brain clicks into high gear too. Like, oh, wow, like, I'm creating now. Right. And, you know, it's one of those that I start to realize maybe I need to dial it back because you're no longer hearing me.
And, right.
And so
now I'm going to be that person that, you know, no disrespect or anymore, I'm going to be that person that every time you see him, you know, the person that, you know, either want you to become a Jehovah's Witness or come to their church or something. I don't want to be that dude,
right?
You know, and I noticed with certain individuals, I'm like, what's up, man? Did you check in? Oh, no. You know, I'm excited about, how am I more excited about your business than you are?
Absolutely.
So I had to check myself, like, okay, I'm becoming that dude. Like, I'm not, if he don't mention it, I don't mention it. So I kind of let the young man, he lead the conversation, and lo and behold, His excitement level is still there. So that's when, okay, it's time for you to meet my people at the Urban League.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's when I'm making my introductions.
So let's talk about that. When do mm-hmm. you know, because I get a lot of folks like, hey, can you connect me with your resources? I'm starting this new thing. Is there a space for you when you do it? Like the first time someone says, hey, can you hook me up with the Urban League sight unseen? Or do you wait to that point where after you've tested to see if they're still committed, you start making the resource connection?
Honestly, I'll do a sight unseen because it's not my
right,
job.
Right.
Like, I'm cutting, I'm teaching, I'm building a shop brand, and I'm building a personal brand. It's their job to, you know,
do the rest.
But what I will do is say, hey, you know, I'll shoot them a text. Hey, I sent a guy named such and such, or I sent a young lady named such and such your information. Look out for them. They might, a couple of days later, a week later, say, such and such never called me, such and such never emailed. Okay. And I'll see that person again, and I'm letting you dictate the conversation. Either we go talk about the Browns and the Cavs, or we go talk about, you know,
what happened.
Right. I got stuff to do. Like, my plate is overflowing. Plus, I got a whole team around me that I got to make sure everybody eating, you know. So I'm excited. I'm going to match your excitement level for your business. How about
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's been said, I hear that Ohio is one of the easiest low cost places to start a business in the U.S. Like, we don't have that 2 year or every year licensing fee. You know, like, there's places like that are $600 to start a business. And we're not here in Ohio. Like, you can start as many businesses as you want here in Ohio.
Right. Yet we slow on the dribble. Like, yo, I don't know. But again, I'm not telling nobody. I just gave you a very simple equation from a 22-year-old young man. Nope, Wave is not telling you to go quit your job
because
I'm not paying nobody's bills. I'm not loaning out no money, you know. But be prepared. They say an entrepreneur is the crazy people that will quit a solid 40-hour a week, good paying job, great insurance, great benefits to go work for themselves 60, 80 hours a week for we don't know how much money. But guess what? It's no one else better to work for on this whole entire planet, on this whole entire planet than you.
Yes. I think that's one of the things that we're starting to see is there is a difference to me. I think there's a difference in that entrepreneur brain. Now, not that you have to have an entrepreneur brain, because I didn't. I mean, I was 15 years working in schools. But, you know, when you have to depend on yourself, you have to really start learning a lot of things about yourself, good and bad.
That's right.
Like, realize what's not good about you, what you need to change. Because, you know, in our house, if I don't make money, we don't eat. Like, that's it.
Period. Period. Hey, that's a motivator, right?
Yeah. And everybody can't do that. So I'm with you. Like, do not look at me and be like, I'm going to quit my job and do what Shane or Waverly does. Like, that's not the way it works.
Hey, I tell squad all the time, I just make this look easy. I was here until 4 o'clock in the morning waxing the floors. Yeah, me. Not, you know, not Joe.
It's in everybody home and you still.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But also, I think that America, whether consciously of sub or subconsciously, is speaking out because they saying, I don't care about your $20 an hour, your $25 an hour. I'm just going to go DoorDash, Instacart, Uber, which is technically you working for yourself.
Yep.
You know, they like the freedom of being able to make their own schedule. You know, now a lot of them, they don't know you got to pay them taxes at the end. You know what I'm saying?
You'll learn
that
soon.
Type of thing. But they like the freedoms that those type of entities are affording them. And now I'm like, well, if you like, it's always great to work for yourself, but you know, you making DoorDash XYZ a lot of money. You know, I know a guy, he started DoorDash. He did Instacart. He found delivery for Amazon. Young guy, about 25 years old, one of my clients. And same thing, just talking to him over the years. Now him and his buddy saving their money up. Amazon, they made so much money on Amazon. They bought a box truck. Now they got three of them, three box trucks. And so I'm talking to dude last week. He brings his son in. He said, man, I told my cousin, that's who we partnering with, I'm not going to come in today. Y'all make sure everything is good. But he's not just telling me, he's showing me the numbers on the phone. He got me thinking about buying a box truck and trying to figure this out. They are making money.
I met this guy who did that. And he said his in the scale is one truck, one driver. So it's an easy when we like starting a business is one thing, but you got to scale and stay sustainable. Yeah. And so I often say, you know, running your business is like a banana. Like it's only yellow for so minute, so long. You got to do something. Sure. And and if you don't want to grow it, like I'm just happy here. Well, it's not going to work. You know, you're not ready for the economy or what have you. And so I met this guy and he said, I own a trucking company. And I'm like, okay. And I don't know when I said it, he didn't believe me. He's like, oh no, it's good money. He said, and it's easy to scale. So whenever I buy a new truck, I find a new driver. And thus there's his empire. And then buy a new route from an Amazon or wherever. And you know, it sounds so brilliant. Like why recreate?
The money that he's making. And I mean, the one truck, one driver, he said, I'm trying to like do my own due diligence, investigating. I'm like, well, what about the drop off? He's like, bro, everything's on carts. We back it in and we wheel it out.
Yep.
I'm thinking they humping stuff. You know, he's like, no, bro, like this is very easy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yes. And I would love to see your trucking company. So. So let's talk about the word comfort, because I hear a lot of folks. I could say it's a fear of money. I don't want to make a lot of money. I just want to be comfortable. And And in that, ridiculous. That's okay. Yes. But in that is that idea of, even if I start a business, like, I don't really want to, they would still want to be like in your mom's basement cutting hair. That's kind of side hustle. Cause I don't really want to make a lot of money. I just want to be comfortable, just pay my bills, be able to go on vacation. And I think in that word comfort, there is a fear.
Yeah.
Have you encountered that with folks?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And when you say it in a sentence, it's like my Google Translate in my brain says, I'm scared. That's I mean, you hit it right on the head. I'm scared to scale up. I'm scared of the problems that's going to encounter, that I'm going to encounter in the next level. I'm scared about staffing. I'm scared about, you know, customer service, things of that nature. And like you told the guy with the trucking company, why do it? You never hear Jeff Bezos say, I'm scared. You never hear Donald Trump say, I'm scared. You know, I've been hearing about, I'm sure you heard of this person, Beyond Win.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, run the F and play.
Yep.
Run the play, dude. Stop being scared. Like, I don't go to the Word Church, but I heard Pastor Bernie say one day he was having like a pastor's conference on a commercial. And he's like, if you ever talk to a pastor that said, I just want my one church with my 95 members, he's like, they lying.
You see, I'm laughing.
They lying. Right. Right. Because
that's unfathomable to me in these days. Like,
right.
I get
but
it.
But you know what?
I understand it. I used to be that.
It's a certain set of people that would challenge us. But maybe in my finite mind, I just cannot fathom you not wanting to make the most money as you possibly can. Or scale up to, you know, why would I stop at one barbershop when I can have two, when I can have three? You know, they always ask you, what's the goal?
Expansion,
I tell people, look, I want people to think about Urban Cuts. You might not go there, but when you think about cheeseburgers, what do you think about? We know the company, right? That's all. I want that. That means when your boyfriend, your uncle, your husband, he might cut his own hair, but every now and then you'll go to McDonald's, you'll go to Wendy's to get that cheese. You might know how to make that burger yourself, of course, but every now and then you'll let somebody else do it. And I want Urban Cuts Barbershop to be the first one that pop in that person's head. Until then, my work ain't done. So yes, man. I can't understand why somebody say, I just want to be comfortable. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me.
So let's go back though and talk about, as we said, our people, because we have been conditioned to that. You know, yeah. I know family that will say, like, once you get the good job and get the nice car and live in the good neighborhood, the nice home, like, that's your comfort. Like, we've made it.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, I look at it as a lot of us are hitting those goals, the good job and the house, like in our 30s. I refuse to believe that at 35, 36, I'm done. Like,
right.
And now we just work to retirement. Like,
absolutely not. And you know what? I'm 50. So that's kind of like my generation and older philosophy. Again, I work with a lot of young people and my students, and I pick their brain all the time. A lot of times I cannot fathom their thought process because it's ridiculous. I got a young guy. He's early to mid 30s. Dude is making mid six figures. And I remember in recent years past, you know, we were talking about the difference in opinion, like my generation versus the millennials, the Gen Zs. Y'all want everything. Y'all entitled. You know, y'all want to make all this money, but y'all don't even want to go to work. Now, look, COVID hit. Everybody still doing a great job, but they at home. And this is what he hit me with about a few months ago when he got his last raise, because he keep getting raised, keep moving up in the company. He was like, now, remember, 10, 15 years ago, you was talking, your generation was talking about my generation saying how entitled we are. We asking for too much, that we'll never get it. Now look, my generation, we making good money. We able to work from home. We don't have to do X, Y, Z. And guess what? If you not go pay us, I'm not about to retire at your company and work there for the next 25 years to get a Timex watch and a plaque for my wall. No, if you not go pay me, Joe down the street will. So what right. you go do? We're not loyal. We don't have the loyalty that y'all have. Mm-hmm. And you're right. So my generation, you know, go to college, which is another thing. Go to college, get your education. But now my millennials, my Gen Z is like, if I ain't got to go to college, I ain't going to college. I'm going to get this certification because Elon Musk said I can work for Tesla. Yep. As long as I can show him I can do the work. Yep. I can make a lot of money and I don't have a debt. I can climb the ladder as I'm getting certified or licensed or whatever I need to do, make the same money that Joe Blow will make coming out of college, only I don't have $300,000 in debt.
Right. And I think I have even, nothing with that, to say. Even with that, it's not to say your generation, but that generation telling the younger people. I think that's where I take offense because I've come into a lot of entrepreneurs younger than me. And because they have mom or auntie or uncle in their ear about, you got a good job. They don't make the jump.
No, go for it. Go for it. And that's from an old head to it. Because guess what? In 10 years, if you don't go for it, number one, you're going to be mad at yourself and you're going to be mad at mom and auntie. If you young, man, you got plenty of time to fix it or land on your feet. You might fall on your behind, but you got time to dust yourself off, correct your mistakes, get everything in line. But no. And again, that's from old man way, whatever you want to go for it. I mean, I'm on team with the millennials and the Gen Z's and whatever else the generation. I'm on team now. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm learning every day from people learning from me and I'm learning from people. Like 10 years ago, I didn't think this sense of entitlement. I was one of the people that they just think the world's supposed, they'll never get that. But now guess what? They're getting it. Yeah. And they like, look, I'm at home. I'm sitting doing my work in my boxers. And guess what? The work is getting done.
Or traveling to a beach and doing my work.
Yeah.
Like having a Mai Tai, getting my work done.
I've literally heard at least 5 or 6 of them saying that. Like, yeah, I was at Myrtle Beach. I worked every day. At the end of the day, as long as the work is getting done, who cares where you got it done at? Or right. from.
And honestly, your job don't care where you're getting it done from either.
Right. Right. So I don't understand why we're making a big deal out of it. I mean, like I said, I'm on team now. I get it.
I get it too.
I get it. But you know what? That was me conditioned from my elders. Go to college, get you know what I'm saying? And I mean, I do have a degree. Not really using it. I'm using a little bit, you know, but far as occupation wise, I'm not really using it. And I went back to get my degree for personal reasons, not necessarily for career reasons, you know? So, yeah. And I used to be that dude back in the day. Yeah, man, what school you going to? Now it's, so what happens when you graduate?
Yep, what's plan?
What's next?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, what's the plan?
What's the plan and what's your trajectory? It's not like I have a family member today graduating and I'm like, so what's your plan? You know, well, I'm gonna come back, get a job, and they have a business. So not saying that you should go forward with it, but you know, their career path is just like, let me land this job. And because we're so, I think, conditioned, like you say, you graduate, you get the good job, you get that job. Like that's where the story ends until you get in that job and realize I want to do more. And just how powerful would it be to have the roadmap a little bit? Like I want to be making $1 million at 40 and I'm 21 or whatever. Like I want to live out the country. That's my goal in 5 years. Like we're not taught to do that when we graduate college. It's just where you land.
We're not, but they are. Other cultures are. You know, and I mean, granted, other cultures have the means to find themselves, you know what I'm saying? Because they will be financially supported. But that's not to say that you can't, you're going to have to structure your goals in a different way, but it can be done. So go find yourself, go live in another country. Man, if I can just get 15 years back, Oh my yes. God. You know?
But I think even with that, like we've got folks, families that could afford their kids to do that. But I think from who I've encountered personally, many of those families still have that traditional mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. We're stuck in that mindset. So, you know, maybe I'm going to be creating a lot of arguments within family households, but I'm sorry. I'm on the young person's side, Matt. Peace. Be out. Go work your business from Spain or Rio yeah. or something. Send a postcard. Maybe it occurs to me, you know, because again, I'm 50, so I'm still a little scared too. I would like to do something out the country myself. So I say go for it.
I have a 19-year-old daughter, and that was my, I told her, I'm like, you have to take the leap because you don't want to be 36. Yeah. Like I did it late. So I did the traditional trying to maybe appease the family, you know, and I wanted that conversation. Oh, Shane has got a good job. Shane is doing this. And it took, honestly, like my mom passed. And so at that mm-hmm. point, it was just kind of like, what am I doing? And so I made the jump, and I tell my kids all the time, like I made the jump with two kids, single mom. I would way rather you go for it at 19 and get your lumps in.
Please. Right. And hey, but just be prepared. Well, you heard the little snippet from Steve Harvey about you got to jump. Oh,
the parachute. Yep.
Yeah, you got to jump. But when you jump, just be prepared because
the chute don't open.
You
go get
snagged. You go hit this, hit that. But just enjoy the journey. Like it's a problem when I got some issues going on when I'm laying up at night and I'm losing sleep. But after I figured it out, I really, to this day, I enjoy this journey. I'm down for the grind. When I was talking to my guy at Jumpstart this morning, he asked me, what time do you get up? What time do you start cutting? I'm like, I'm in the shop at 6 a.m, bro. And he was like, after all these years, and I'm like, after I go through the cloudiness of in the morning, once I literally put the key in lock, hit the alarm, and I'm waiting on my client, I love it.
Yeah.
I still love it to this day. And that's what I tell my students. Now, you have to be passionate about this because so what? You can cut hair real good. If you're not getting there to 12 o'clock, the people between normal shop hours, which is 9 and 12, you 3 hours behind.
You cut your money short.
Right. You cut your money short. So how passionate are you? What are you going to do? I always ask my students when I meet the first, we start a new class every 7 weeks. And I always ask them, what are you going to do as a person to make me a potential new client, get in my car, ride past 10 barbershops, to walk in your barbershop, walk past 5 barbers to sit in your chair. But what are you going to do to make me do that again? And again and again, because if you can't make me repeat that action, you're not going to survive. Right. Are you ready for this? And this barbershop's popping up on every corner. What are you going to do to stand out? And it better not be, I'm going to cut hair real good. Everybody cut hair real good. Or a lot of us, most of us. You know what I'm saying? So what are you going to do to make yourself stand apart?
Value proposition.
Yeah. You know, and some of them. And I say this is a homework assignment that I'm never going to check. If you want to talk about this, come to me. And probably less than 5% of those students come and say, Mr. Willis, can I talk to you about my plan? And I mean, I never bother. That's me checking to see where your enthusiasm is, because I'm never going to pull up on you and say, did you think about it?
Right.
Yeah, so yeah.
The
yeah.
ones that come that's back, what does that tell you? Those 5%, what does that tell you?
That's telling me that they passionate and they thinking about what they want to do to make themselves stand apart, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. We got 135 students and we start a new class every 7 weeks. That's just one barber college in Ohio. And then I tell them, like, don't be afraid to go out. People, I know right now people are begging me to open up a shop out in Medina, which is about 30, 45 minutes away. Begging me. begging me. It's too far away from me. Somebody want me to come over to Elyria. Somebody want me to come over to Lorain. Just because your buddy from John Hay opened up a shop and but Mike from Kennedy got a shop next door and then Joe from Cleveland Heights, bro, we don't have, it's money all over.
Well, I mean, there's an infinite supply of money. Like,
yeah,
that's the but that's another thought process. That's another thought process too that everybody don't have. That there's a surplus of money. Like, money's all around.
It's all around, all around. I mean, just from the money that companies and corporations is offering for hourly rate, the sign-on bonuses, some institutions, some learning institutions say, hey, come to school, we'll give you X, Y, Z just to live off of. We're not going to see this too much longer, people.
Nope.
We are not going to see this too much longer. Again, Jeff Bezos don't want to give you $3,000 to come work for him.
But he is right now.
Right now. So we have to take advantage of this. My contact at the Urban League, Felicia Townsend Ivy, she was just telling me like they're doing 0% loans now.
Nice.
UBS Connect is trying not. That's the state. I think UBS Connect, they're doing like 3% loans right now. And guess what? They're trying to close as many as they can by the end of the year.
That's awesome.
Right now, we're talking about 45
in December.
Grand.
Yep. And here we are in December. Yeah.
We're talking 45 grand that you guys can have in your bank account in the next few weeks.
That's awesome.
How bad do you want it?
Yep.
The money's there.
But let's go back now. Let's talk about that loan process or what have you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because even for entrepreneurs, I have heard many say, I don't want no loans because loans have a bad stigma in our community. Or like the fact that you talked about having an accountant. Like, I love my accountant. My accountant, I, as long as I know my accountant's there, like, I feel like I can go forward freely because I know that I have that, like, they have my back. Let's talk about just like creating that circle and like, you can't do it alone. Like, this glory solopreneur thing is not, it's not business. It's to me.
Every point, every good business company, corporation, everybody got a team behind them. Speaking of accounting, my account just went up exponentially. And I'm like, Robin, you know I need you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to come up with that bread.
Right.
I said, you already know. It's a few people that I got to keep happy. Family is one of them. Customers and you. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to work it out. So, yes, you got to have a good team behind you and you need to pay them. A good haircut costs more than a bad haircut. So a good accountant, a good media person, everybody has a good team behind them. And I don't care. You name the business. If you can get close to the owner or somebody in the upper echelon of that business. And that's why when I'm doing stuff, I just share with my media person over my girl, Sharita Carthine over at Urban Classic Design. That's my media person. She helped me keep stuff in line and I pay her.
Yep.
And she's reasonable. You know what I'm saying? I don't haggle with people's prices because they know me and relationships. One of the biggest things that I always tell a new person is go out, network and form those relationships. And I never claim to be an expert on nothing, but if I can't answer your question, I am 100% sure that I can send somebody that's an expert in that field within 24 to 48 hours that can answer that question and any other questions that you may have. You got to have a good team behind you.
And you got to be vulnerable, you know, like, I'm in a class now and, you know, as I'm learning my business, like I have to be able to open up and be like, this is where our company struggles, you know, like the whole SWOT analysis, like this is our threats. This is our weakness. And within that, understanding that if this is my personal weakness, let's say it is accounting, you know, I don't need to become the accountant. I need to find a good accountant. I don't need to like, I can manage our social. So that's not necessarily what I'm looking for, but I know what I'm looking for because I know what I don't have and what I can't build on.
Right.
And so I think that's the thing. I've heard so many people coming out of urban leagues when they do those, like get MBE qualified, and people are like, nah, girl, like they asking for too much information. And that blew my mind, because you know how much money, like there's money out there. And because right. you heard somebody in the parking lot, they weren't friends, say, nah, girl, we don't need to do all that. You cut your business short. And that kind of just right. like hurts my spirit.
Yeah. But, that means to me, my Waverly, not Google, what I'm gonna call it, my Waverly translator means either I'm lazy or I'm scared.
Or you know what I'm saying? In that case, you also not prepared. Like if somebody's like, we want 12 months of your bank statements, I don't have a problem giving you 12 months of my bank statements for a loan. Right. Because like, number one, I got them. Number two, I have a business bank. Right. And that's part of the process.
Right. But you know what? But that's why the Urban League is there. So be transparent. I don't have that. Well, you know what? Let's call your bank. Let
like but it's in now, you said be transparent.
Right.
It's okay.
You have to trust somebody. This I had problems with this earlier on. You got to trust somebody. I had to know all of my many weaknesses because I'm not Superman, you know. So I had to learn how to trust, and then I had to learn how to delegate.
Yes.
Delegate. Like that's still one of my weaknesses is delegating, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a work in progress. So when somebody say, and the MBE came up this morning and she said, hey, so many people is missing out on so much.
Yep.
Because, and she admitted, it's a lot of hoops. Like you got to prove that you black.
Yep.
Which is not one of the hard hoops. If you're about to make some money, you got to jump through a little hoop.
Yeah.
It's no way.
And that's not a little money. Like that's game changing money.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So you just got to do what you got to do. But where does your passion lie? How committed to yourself and your business are you?
So let's go back to that, though, before we wrap up. Like in the thought of where your passion lies, like I can see a lot of people thinking like my passion is cooking. My passion is cutting hair. My passion is talking. But that passion, we're not talking about that passion. We're talking about the passion to fund your livelihood out of that.
Right.
And I think that's where people get mixed up. Like, I just want to focus on my art. Like maybe I draw or paint. I just want to focus on the painting. That's my passion. But the passion has to go a little further. Like it's not double down on the painting. It's double down to me on all the other stuff that's not the painting.
Well, that's when you got to have that heart. And that's a great question. I love it. Like, we're going to have to do this some more.
You're absolutely welcome to come back.
Cool. But because that's where people have to have that conversation with themselves. Do you just like to cook, or do you want a multitude of other people to experience your cooking? Now, even with that being said, just go get a job at a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? And you can just not go through this tornado, this entrepreneurial tornado that you are volunteering to go into. So that's when a person has to really have to have that conversation with themselves, you know? And you have to have a heart to heart. Do I just want to sit here and draw and just put my pictures up on my phone and let people give me likes and shares? Or do I want to monetize this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's within yourself. I think that outside of the Urban League, it's all types. If you go on Eventbrite, which I didn't have or know about at least 13 years ago, it's free classes at the library, at your neighborhood rec center. But I knew, and I had that conversation with myself, I want to cut every damn body's hair. You know, when I got to the Jumpstart, I asked him when I first got there, I could not. Waverly, who's your target demographic? Everybody. Got hair. No, Waverly.
You can't
Waverly.
Do that.
And I mean, I was locked in. If you got hair, I'm arguing with him. You got hair, I want to cut it. Waverly. And until I started just calming myself down, I know now that my target demographic is the millennials and the Gen Zs, the professionals, whether it be blue or white collar, because I know that this generation, they go come on a normal basis to get their hair cut. I know that if, not even if, when my prices go up, they won't complain about it.
Yep.
And I know that these are the people that's going to go leave my shot and get that back out. Back out. They go hit a selfie. They go tag me and Urban Cuts and put it out there to the masses.
Absolutely.
That's my target demo. And again, it took me a year in with Jumpstart until I really stopped saying everybody with hair. And once I started really targeting that, that's what I got now. That's how I started taking Bitcoin.
Yeah. Running it past. You're one of the first.
Yeah. And you know what? After I started taking Bitcoin, I got global exposure for
you
that.
You did.
I mean, I had people calling me from the Middle East, from the UK, interviewing me about taking Bitcoin. And at, now, if you ask me to tell you about cryptocurrency, I don't know how it works. But I did get some exposure from it, and I got new client base. I still got my professionals that come to me. They think it's cool that they can pay me in Bitcoin.
Yep.
And I just leave it in that account.
I intersected you there, like as we're having this conversation, because you were at the blockchain, Blockland Summit. And that's where I encountered you. And so like it's real cool as I like to see where I cross paths with Waverly.
Right.
Even though we have mutual friends, but we don't often talk to each other. But let's do this before we wrap up, because you've mentioned Urban League, you've mentioned Jumpstart. Let's think of like, let's shout out some other places that folks can go. Like I know I started with the SBDCs and that's the state, right? And they got three here in Cleveland and same kind of thing, free information. Like if they wouldn't have told me how to incorporate, I probably wouldn't have incorporated my first business.
Right.
And so that's another resource to talk to. If you're not an Urban League or Jumpstart fan or just don't know where to go, besides your library, because I also know that there's a lot of folks that aren't, what's the word, maybe accredited, you know, they're just teaching it, but they might not be the person you need to find. Like, just because I put up something on Eventbrite, you might not need
me. Those are the people that might give you that one-on-one.
That's true.
When you go to the library and it's three people there, two of them go leave after the first 45 minutes, and you got that person right there all to yourself to pick their brain.
And they will sit with
you. The library, the rec center, ECDI.
Yes.
You know, that's a good one. And again, if people contact me, I'm always a champion first for the Urban League. United Black Fund, they got some initiatives that they're working on. The Economic Development Department of the City of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, make these people do their job. There is no dumb question. And I mean, you'll visually see if you're getting on somebody's nerves or not, but so what? It's their job.
Yeah.
They're paid to help you out.
And keep coming back. Like I did some time and worked with the Urban League for a few months. And what I noticed was a lot of times people felt defeated, but they kind of just asked the wrong question.
Right.
You know, like it was, y'all got grants for me to start this business as opposed to how can you help me start this business? And so the answer was, no, we don't have grants. Right.
Right.
And so then they walked out like, dang, the Urban League didn't help me. But they
heard they got grants over there.
Yeah, right. But it wasn't that question. It was, you know, instead of coming in being like, how can you help me? Or can you help me start the business? Which, so I think it's really, though, like you said, even you keep going back. And as you refine your process, I mean, that's part of the dedication.
Yeah.
No one said this is going to be easy. Like you start today and you get $2 million.
That's part of that conversation you got to have within yourself. Like you have to keep coming back. Me and you, we learning every day about our businesses, business in general, people in general, and we years and years deep into this thing. So you have to keep coming back. And that's again, you looking at that mountain, you walk out saying, girl, you told me they had grants over here. They ain't got no grants. Just keep coming back.
Yep.
Just keep coming back. It's like building a wall. You gotta build a wall one brick at a time.
Yep. And if it don't work,
a lot of us keep changing. Fall short.
And change the plan. So, like it might not be that label that you need. It might be a different color. Like, you know, it's not, I think the one thing that I can say about business before we wrap up is it's not what you think it's gonna be. So when you thought I'm gonna open up Urban Cuts, I don't think that what you visioned that first day is what you have today.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
There's some erasing and redrawing, and not in a bad way. But
yeah,
we couldn't even process that. I couldn't even process where we are today, where I am today.
Yeah. Yep.
And so that's why I had to let go of stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I keep it real with people. Like when one of my students come over to the shop and it's a busy Saturday and it's a lot going on. I'm like, oh, wow. And I said, look, check this out. You see that couch over there? That couch has a lot of my slobber on it. Because I literally fell asleep in here so many days, bro. Because didn't one person come through the door when I first started out? Like, this is, don't pay attention to this part. Listen to me when I tell you about the journey. That's what I want you to prepare. You know, when I bring a new barber in, I say, don't look at Instagram and TikTok and you see all the shops and they having right. fun. No. Shop life for a new barber is this.
Yeah.
You sitting there watching me make money. Because you got to pay your dues because I pay my dues.
Absolutely. There's no shortcuts.
Now, my cup runneth over. So if you beside me, I'm going to make sure you good, but you got to have patience.
Yep.
And that's with any business. You got to have patience.
Yeah. So, you can be down for this life. Like, it's not.
That's a great quote. You got to be down for this life and just enjoy. And three things: enjoy the journey, network, and keep coming back. If you really want this.
Yep. That's perfect. I mean, that's it. So I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to let you go because I'm so excited that you have been on. I can't wait to have you back. So please feel free to come back.
Man,
and I might put you on with some other folks that I talk entrepreneurship and we just going to chop it up and see where that goes.
I'm with that. I'm excited.
So my guest today, everyone, is Waverly Willis, owner, operator, entrepreneur of Urban Cuts Barbershop and so many other things. Instructor, nonprofit executive director, just all around good guy. And we just spent probably an hour talking about small business, starting your business, following your dreams. And I thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. Keep going.
All right. Everyone else, thanks for listening and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at blackgirlincle. This podcast was recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, with post-production by the talented interns at Black Girl Media. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved and retained by Black Girl Media, LLC. Talk to you next time.